listeners only. Stay tuned for a 100% risk-free offer that includes a free deep cleansing brush and free shipping. Do you have acne or even the occasional breakout? With Prescription Strength Proactive, your acne can heal and you can prevent future breakouts. There's no better time to try Proactive. Today, we're letting all listeners try Proactive 100% risk-free. Plus, they're giving away a free deep cleansing brush and free shipping when you call right now. 800-772-7610. You heard right. A risk-free trial of Proactive, a free deep cleansing brush, and free shipping. Take it from me. Proactive really works. So here's the deal again for our listeners. For $19.95, you'll get Prescription Strength Proactive, plus a deep cleansing brush valued at $55, totally free and free shipping. You're guaranteed to get clear and stay clear, or you get your money back. Call now. 800-772-7610. That's 800-772-7610. One more time. Ready? 800-772-7610.
I am not going anywhere anytime soon, and just let's leave that thing at that.
That's House Speaker Paul Ryan knocking down speculation that he's considering retiring from the House. At a Capitol Hill briefing on Tuesday morning, the Wisconsin Republican criticized the speculative reports about his future, calling the buzz faulty.
I actually think that piece was very irresponsible. It was a speculative piece, and it was faulty speculation, and I wanted to put it to rest.
It was an even stronger denial of a report that originated in Politico than Ryan gave last Thursday when the report first hit. Controversial former NFL QB Colin Kaepernick wants in on buying an NFL team. The former 49ers QB says he's interested in joining an ownership group that's aiming to buy the Carolina Panthers. Rapper Sean Diddy Combs is reportedly heading that group, and Kaepernick tweeted yesterday he wants in. So does Golden State Warriors superstar Steph Curry, who grew up and played college ball near Charlotte, where the Panthers are based. And this is USA Radio News.
Hi, this is Wayne Allyn Root with a confession to make. I wear my blue blocker sunglasses everywhere. How good are blue blockers? First, America's astronauts using the same formula wore them in outer space. And over 20 million pairs have been sold throughout the world. 20 million! Blue blockers provide the best eye protection you can own. And you can't even break the lens with a hammer. Here's a great holiday offer. Call toll-free now to order one pair for $29.95 or two pairs for $39.95 plus shipping. The perfect Christmas gifts. Just call toll-free 800-722-7777. That's 800-722-7777.
Housing starts in the U.S. surprisingly higher on the strength of single-family home construction. The Commerce Department reporting this morning that housing starts in November totaled nearly 1.3 million, beating estimates of 1.25 million. Construction of single-family units soaring 5.3%. It's a 10-year high and accounts for the bulk of the overall housing market. More details coming out after the weekend arrest of Sarah Palin's son, Track Palin, on domestic violence charges. We get those additional details from Sharon Reed.
According to Alaska police, 28-year-old Track Palin said the dispute was with his father over a vehicle. The younger Palin told an arresting officer he arrived at his parents' home in Wasilla and was confronted by his father, who he says was armed with a gun. Police say Sarah Palin called 911 to say her son was, quote, freaking out and was on some type of medication. Todd Palin told police he'd retrieved his pistol to protect his family. Track Palin is now facing one count of felony burglary, assault, and criminal mischief.
And there's one word so annoying that it's made the top of the most annoying words list again for the ninth consecutive year. And you might just say, whatever, because that's the word, whatever. A new Marist poll says whatever is detested by 33% of Americans, though that's down from 38% who said they hated it last year. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Hey, Pat, did you know between the two of us, we know how to screw in a light bulb?
Come on, Steve. We can do better than that. Well, at least I can. Tell you what. You sit there and look pretty, and I'll fix it.
Listen to you, big guy. Better yet, let's get everyone to listen to Home Sweet Home with me, Steve Bailey, Inspector with Brass Tack Home Inspections.
And I'm Pat Gregory, Handyman Extraordinaire with Taskman Home Improvements, every Friday at 11 a.m. Or you can go to our archives and get access to over 50 podcasts. We cover the basement to the attic and everything in between.
You can even call us at 908-237-0410 during our radio program about our home improvement projects. Remember, Home Sweet Home, every Friday at 11 on Hunterton Chamber Radio.
From the basement to the attic, you're listening to Steve and Patrick. Home Sweet Home.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Greetings, warriors, veterans, and America-loving citizens from sea to shining sea. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom. Hoo-wah! Army beat Navy in football last week, and I am still geeked about it. And we're in the Christmas season, and life is good. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Thanks for joining us. Joining me at the 50 caliber microphone today is co-host Air Force vet Josh Lang. Hey, what's going on, Josh?
Well, this weekend is National Wreaths Across America Day, Colonel. So with the help of volunteers across the country, our veterans' graves will be looking sharp and festive for the holiday season.
Good to hear, Josh. Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby looks mischievous. We'll hear from him as he shares warrant wisdom. And Marine Vet Skip Coriel is here looking like a happy camper. What's up, happy camper?
Well, Colonel, I'm supposed to be bummed out because Navy lost, you know, being from the Marine Corps. But anytime my boss is happy, I'm happy.
And I always thought the Marine Corps were referred to as the U.S. Navy's flunky corps, you know.
We keep the Army from beating them up on the sidelines.
You know, you got a point there. Well, here's what we have for you today. A news and comment by the Colonel. I'm going to suggest there's nothing in our Constitution that even remotely suggests a separation between church and state. So we can all celebrate Merry Christmas everywhere, as we should. John Burns from Concerned Veterans for America will join us to discuss the VA, where improvements have been made, and where they haven't, at least not yet. And Tony Buschetti will share about his book, The Marine Corps Way of War. And of course, we'll discuss last week's Army-Navy football game. How could we not?
Hey, troops, please invite your friends to join us at this time on this great radio station. Then head on out to frontlinesoffreedom.com and sign up for our free e-newsletter. And join the conversation at facebook.com/frontlinesoffreedom.
We welcome your input to this show. Send us your ideas and comments through our website, frontlinesoffreedom.com, or by Facebook. Now it's time for news and comment by the Colonel on Frontlines of Freedom. First, the news. What's first, Josh?
President Trump's decision to recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel and eventually move the U.S. embassy there from Tel Aviv continues to have repercussions across the Middle East. As violence continued in Gaza, the leader of Egypt's Coptic Church and Palestinian leader Mahmoud Abbas both canceled plans to meet with Vice President Mike Pence during Pence's visit to the region later this month. The Grand Imam of the Al-Hazar Mosque in Cairo also said he would not meet with Pence, according to Egyptian media. And the Arab League issued a statement calling on Trump to reverse his decision, which it described as, quote, a dangerous violation of international law, end quote. The leader of the Arab League, Ahmed Abul Ghit, said in Cairo at the start of an emergency meeting of the League's foreign ministers, quote, the decision amounts to the legalization of occupation, end quote. The decision, he said, raised questions about whether Washington could continue to be a peace mediator, not just in the Middle East, but across the globe. Secretary of State Rex Tillerson defended the decision, saying it called for few changes from what the U.S. is already doing, and that reactions in the Middle East have been overblown. Tillerson said, quote, the reality is, as you wake up today after this announcement, is nothing is different, other than the president has now implemented the 1995 law, end quote, that calls on the administration to move the U.S. embassy to Jerusalem. He also noted that the planned relocation was unlikely to happen quickly. Tillerson rejected the notion that Trump's decision would block the Palestinians from retaining a portion of Jerusalem, saying, quote, in fact, he was very clear, I think, the final status of Jerusalem, including the borders, would be left to the parties to negotiate and decide, end quote.
This was a very good and long past due move on our part. It's the beginning of the end for the foolishness that has been ruling negotiations in that part of the world. Everyone talks about peace talks, but the Islamist terrorists make it clear that they will not be happy until every Jew is dead. Now, how can anyone pretend that negotiations can work under that situation? Trump has called everyone's bluff. There will be much whining, but this will turn out to be a very positive mood, in my opinion. I'll talk about more of that on next week's show.
The second ultra-modern, very stealthy destroyer being built for the Navy cut short its first sea trials because an equipment failure prevented testing of propulsion and electrical systems under full power, according to officials. The problem during builder trials was discovered a day after the future USS Michael Mansour left Bath Iron Works. The Mansour returned to the shipyard under its own power and will return to sea after the problem is fixed. The repairs are not expected to impact the ship's delivery in March. The first-in-class Zumwalt destroyer experienced propulsion problems with seawater leaking into the system that have since been repaired. The Mansour's problem was electrical in nature, with the loss of an induction coil causing the failure of another system. The shipbuilder decided it would be more efficient to make the fix at the shipyard.
It's good that our Navy is developing high-tech new combat ships to keep us leading the world in combat readiness. I hope they get through the challenges and get this newest ship delivered on time.
A Navy seaman assigned to the carrier USS George H.W. Bush has been disciplined and counseled by his unit after officials determined he staged the vandalism of his own bunk with racist graffiti and then posted about it on Facebook. Naval Criminal Investigative Service and command officials had been investigating the claim that the sailor was targeted because of his race ever since he posted photos on Facebook on November 15th. A spokesman stated, quote, "After a thorough investigation was conducted, several indicators supported the conclusion that the incident was staged," end quote, and added, "there were inconsistencies in the alleged victim's statements." The Navy Times, which first reported on the matter, identified the sailor as 27-year-old Marquis Little, an African-American. Photos published in Little's Facebook post, which has since been deleted, show a pillow ripped open and pieces of corrugated cardboard and other garbage stacked in Little's rack aboard the Bush. The N-word appears to be written on the wall of the bunk in black marker.
I trust that our military is totally intolerant of people who are racist, and that includes all who would play the race card inappropriately. We have no room in our military for such jerks.
The Navy is deploying a team of deep water salvage experts to recover a C-2A Greyhound transport aircraft that went down in the Philippine Sea on November 22nd en route to the carrier Ronald Reagan. Three troops, including the pilot, were killed when the Greyhound crashed. Lieutenant Stephen Combs, the pilot, has been credited with saving the lives of the other eight service members aboard by maneuvering to ditch the aircraft in choppy seas. It took over 2 weeks to begin the recovery effort, in significant part because of the depth of the sea at the crash location. The water is deeper than 16,000 feet, or more than 3 miles straight down, a depth beyond the capabilities of regional salvage assets. The Navy will dispatch a special deep water salvage team to begin recovery efforts for the aircraft.
A Frontlines of Freedom salute to Lieutenant Stephen Combs, the pilot, who lost his life while saving the others. Military life is risky all the time, not just for those in combat areas. The Navy's doing it right.
The Air Force will soon begin a new pilot training study that aims to upgrade and enhance how future airmen prepare for combat in the cockpit. But in a new twist, the study will gather perspectives from enlisted airmen. The study, called the Pilot Training Next Initiative, will explore how pilots can learn and train faster, quote, by using existing and emerging technologies that can decrease the time and cost of training, end quote, but with the same depth of understanding to produce quality pilots. The pilots training in the next class in February will consist of both enlisted airmen and officers. The official news release stated, quote, "the enlisted members were specifically chosen because they have not attended college," end quote.
This is an interesting approach, one the Army did years ago when we created the Warrant Officer Flight Program, a program that has been very, very successful for years. And that's the news. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. Coming up on Frontlines of Freedom, I'll share comments by the Colonel and we'll enjoy some warrant wisdom. Then we'll get an update on improvements in the VA from Concerned Veterans for America. At ease, troops, take a break. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. I want to share about an incredible program available for our veterans across America who are suffering from PTS and traumatic brain injury. It's called After the Impact, and it serves our veterans and NFL football players. You know, it all started at the Eisenhower Center in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and is now expanded to a new facility in Jacksonville, Florida. After the Impact provides real treatment and healing in a transitional residential setting. See more about their facilities for veterans and players at EisenhowerCenter.com.
This is Marine Vet Skip Coriel with your Home Defense Tip of the Week. I'm often asked, at what age should you start teaching your kids about guns? There's no magic age, as all kids are different. The most important thing is to teach them gun safety. Teach them never to touch a gun unless mom or dad are supervising. And always keep your guns locked up in a quality gun safe where kids can't get to them. This is just one more way to keep your family safe. For more useful tips on home and personal defense, visit HomeDefenseShow.com.
This is a special alert to consumers who owe back taxes to the IRS.
Due to the financial hardship consumers are facing during the decline in the U.S. economy, the Internal Revenue Service has made it easier to settle tax problems. An open phone line has been established by National Tax Relief. Grab a pen or put this number in your cell phone, but call 1-800-210-0311 today. That's 1-800-210-0311. When you call, you'll get information and see if you qualify. If you owe back taxes to the IRS and can't afford to pay them back, there's no need to fear anymore. You may qualify for a program that could settle your tax problems and save you money. For free information and to see if you qualify, call National Tax Relief today at 1-800-210-0311. That's 1-800-210-0311. 1-800-210-0311.
Join us for a fun-filled evening at the Hunterdon County Crime Stoppers annual fundraiser, Thursday, November 16th, 6:30 to 9:30 p.m. at Lone Eagle Brewing, 44 Stangle Road, Flemington. Craft beer tasting, great food, door prizes, live music, and a 50-50 raffle. Tickets are $50 each, and sponsorship advertising opportunities are available. Please visit www.crimestoppershunterdon.com or call 908-437-0126. We'll have a barrel of fun.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Tony Clark, paraplanner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
This is Colonel Denny Gillum. It's 20 minutes after the hour, and you are in formation and listening to the Front Lines of Freedom all across America. A Frontlines of Freedom salute to one of our show's sponsors, Honor and Remember. Our nation must never forget those who paid the ultimate sacrifice for our freedoms. This is the mission of Honor and Remember, a nonprofit based in Virginia with support from their national sponsor, Spartan Nash, the leading distributor to U.S. commissaries and fifth largest food distributor. Learn more about how you can continue the mission at honorandremember.org. Now it's time for comments by the Colonel. When I was growing up, this time of year was called Christmas season by everyone. No one, including government agencies, were afraid to put up Christmas trees, stable scenes, or the like, or to send Christmas cards and to wish everybody a Merry Christmas. But today, we have somehow been convinced that we should never have done that, and we sure aren't supposed to do it anymore. We've been sold a bill of goods that says the Constitution prohibits any government agency from showing any hint of support for anything Christian. Indeed, even businesses can't have and live Christian values for fear of being sued. And all this is baloney. Most Americans know that we have a constitution. Indeed, our nation is not a democracy, not at all. We are a constitutional republic, that is, a nation of law with a constitution that protects our rights. Let me quote to you the only two places in our constitution where the idea of religion occurs. First is in the main body of the constitution in Article 6, where a phrase says, quote, "No religious test will ever be required as a qualification for any office or public trust under the United States," end quote. This was here, you see, because in England there was an established church, the Church of England, and one had to be a member of the Church of England to hold a position in the English government, and we didn't want that to happen in the United States. The only other place the idea of religion or God appears is at the beginning of the First Amendment. Again, I quote, "Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof," end quote. It is very clear that only the Congress is restricted from doing anything, and what they are prohibited from doing is establishing a religion, that is, making a national religion for our nation, like the Church of England is for England. And they can't prohibit the free practice of religion. That's it. Nothing else. No other constitutional guidance or restrictions on religion in our nation. So, no public school teacher, no military commander, no state governor, no one is restricted by our Constitution from acting or speaking or encouraging anything religious. Really, I just read you the Constitution. You may recollect that a few weeks ago on this show, we had a former Chief of Justice of the Michigan Supreme Court as a guest, and we discussed the Constitution. The occasion was Veterans Day, and we veterans took an oath to support and defend the Constitution. And my question for Bob Young was, what is this Constitution that we are to support and defend? Is the Constitution a legal document that says what it says and doesn't say what it doesn't say? Or is it just a bunch of words that don't mean anything until some judge or justice says what meaning it has, and that meaning can change at any time? Well, Justice Young said, in his opinion, the Constitution is a legal document that says what it says. Unfortunately, our government has permitted the U.S. Supreme Court to ignore the words of the Constitution and to decide out of thin air what it means. It's often said by this crowd that the Constitution is the law of the land, but it only means what the Supreme Court says it means. I hope that you see this as total bunk. If the literal words in our Constitution don't have any real standalone meaning, then we don't have any rights. If the unelected Supreme Court justice voted 5-4 that women have to wear burqas or that school teachers can't pray in the classrooms, then that's what the Constitution says, even though it doesn't say that. So, the next time someone tells you that being openly religious is unconstitutional, pull out your copy of the Constitution and ask them where it says that. And openly celebrate Christmas, if you're a Christian. And if you're not a Christian, but like the secular Christmas season, enjoy it to the fullest. We were indeed founded as a Christian nation and one that would not have a national church, but would welcome all faiths. Oh, and by the way, when the Bill of Rights became law, the First Amendment is a part of the Bill of Rights, 12 of the 13 states had state religions, established religions. Only Pennsylvania didn't. So remember, the First Amendment applies only to Congress. I should warn you that despite what the Constitution says, today's lawyers, including the Supreme Court, don't follow the Constitution. The Supreme Court rewrites the Constitution wherever it wishes. You know, we need to change the culture of the Supreme Court, but that's a talk for another day. So, enjoy the Christmas season openly and boldly as good patriotic Americans. May God bless America. Merry Christmas to all. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. You're listening to Frontlines of Freedom. Now we get to enjoy some warrant wisdom with Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby. Hey, what do you have for this week, dude?
Colonel, the Army National Guard is the oldest military organization in the United States. Local militias were formed from the earliest English colonization of the Americas in 1607. The first colony-wide militia was formed by the Massachusetts Bay Colony on December 13, 1636, when three militia regiments were organized to defend against the growing threat from the Indians. Patterned after English militia systems, all males between 16 and 60 were obligated to own arms and take part in the defense of the community. The 101st Engineering Battalion, the 101st Field Artillery, the 181st Infantry Regiment, and the 182nd Infantry Regiment of the Massachusetts Army National Guard carry forth the lineage and honors of the North, South, and East regiments that were formed in 1636. They are the oldest military units in the United States Armed Forces and rank among the oldest in the world. The various colonial militias became state militias when the United States became independent. The title National Guard was used from 1824 by some New York state militia units. National Guard itself became a standard nationwide militia title in 1903 and specifically indicated reserve forces under mixed state and federal control from 1933. 18 of America's 45 presidents have served in colonial or state militias, and two have served in the National Guard since it was established in 1903. Among these, George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, and James Madison served in colonial militias. 15 presidents served in state militias, and Harry S. Truman served in the Army National Guard, and George W. Bush served in the Air National Guard. There are also some other notable members, such as former United States Representative to the United Nations, John R. Bolton, who is also a frequent contributor to Frontlines of Freedom, two-time Major League Baseball All-Star pitcher Ken Holtzman, William Joseph Donovan, also known as Wild Bill Donovan, who was the founder of the Office of Strategic Services, the 44th Vice President of the United States, Dan Quayle, actor Tom Selleck, who starred in Magnum P.I., Blue Bloods, and many other shows, Rick Story, a mixed martial artist in the Ultimate Fighting Championship, Brock Lesnar, professional wrestler and former mixed martial artist, and Major League Baseball legend Babe Ruth, have all served in the Army National Guard. The Army National Guard continues its historic mission of providing security to our nation, both at home and abroad. Today, its strength stands at 350,000, with many who have served on active duty since September 11, 2001. They have fought, bled, and died in our nation's defense. And continuing their long heritage as citizen soldiers, our Army National Guard have accomplished missions in Bosnia, Haiti, Iraq, Afghanistan, and many other places around the world. And they also selflessly respond to important missions in our home communities whenever called, as recently as the hurricane response in Houston. The Frontlines of Freedom staff are truly honored to count members of the Army National Guard as great friends. So, happy 381st birthday to our Army National Guard. For Frontlines of Freedom, I'm Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby. Back to you, Colonel.
Thanks, Roland. You're an amazing guy. I appreciate the heck out of you. Straight ahead on Frontlines of Freedom, it's time to discuss the VA with John Burns, and then Janie and Nash will discuss the Travis Mannion Foundation and all the wonderful things it does. All this is coming up. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. You're standing tall with the Frontlines of Freedom. I'll be right back. Troops, it's time for sit-ups. I'm West Point class of 1964, so do 64 of them and stand at ease. As we enter the holiday season and prepare to spend time with family and friends, we at Spartan Nash wish you all the best.
We know that not all our service members can be with their loved ones during the holidays. Through our MDV Military Division, Spartan Nash is the leading distributor of grocery products to U.S. military commissaries around the world. It's our privilege to deliver a slice of home to our heroes.
Wherever you spend the holidays this year, we at Spartan Nash MDV thank you for your service and send you our best wishes.
Exercise is hard. So is maintaining a healthy diet. Of course, neither is half as hard as dying. Type 2 diabetes, heart disease, and stroke kill nearly a million people a year. But most of these deaths are preventable with regular activity, a healthier diet, and not smoking. Talk to your doctor about your risk for type 2 diabetes and heart disease. You can stop it starting right now. Get moving. Visit checkupamerica.org or call 1-800-DIABETES. A message from the American Diabetes Association.
USA Radio News.
Workers are going to get a more level playing field. That's going to boost wages. That's going to bring more jobs back home.
House Speaker Paul Ryan today in a Capitol Hill briefing. The House is expected to vote on the tax bill later today, followed by the Senate tonight, and then a passage of the bill. The bill could be on the president's desk as early as tomorrow. House Speaker Ryan also says this bill is about helping Americans.
This is about expanding opportunity to people who are striving to make the most of their lives.
Meanwhile, on the other side of the political aisle, Martin O'Malley, former governor of Maryland, he's no fan of this bill.
You know, the fact that they're doubling the deductions for kids, that's all nice, but that's all going to be wiped out by increased costs of health care, increased costs of college tuition. It's like this tax bill is like asking a family at Christmas time to buy a car for the wealthiest guy in the neighborhood in exchange for a $50 rebate.
This is USA Radio News.
Hey, everyone. Proactive has an incredible offer for our listeners only. Stay tuned for a 100% risk-free offer that includes a free deep cleansing brush and free shipping. Do you have acne or even the occasional breakout? With Prescription Strength Proactive, your acne can heal and you can prevent future breakouts. There's no better time to try Proactive. Today, we're letting all listeners try Proactive 100% risk-free. Plus, they're giving away a free deep cleansing brush and free shipping when you call right now. 800-772-7610. You heard right. A risk-free trial of Proactive, a free deep cleansing brush, and free shipping. Take it from me. Proactive really works. So here's the deal again for our listeners. For $19.95, you'll get Prescription Strength Proactive, plus a deep cleansing brush valued at $55, totally free and free shipping. You're guaranteed to get clear and stay clear, or you get your money back. Call now. 800-772-7610. That's 800-772-7610. One more time. Ready? 800-772-7610.
This is Chamber President Chris Phelan inviting you to the 29th Annual Business and Home Expo with our Restaurant Showcase. This wonderful event will happen on Thursday, November 9th at our new location, Next Level Arena on Case Boulevard in Flemington from 2 to 7 p.m. If you're a business or organization and would like to participate, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or visit our website at huntertonchamber.org.
Troops, welcome back to the nation's largest military veteran talk radio show, Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Troops, do send me your comments and questions. Email me through frontlinesoffreedom.com. Now it's time to meet John Burns. He's the director of Coalitions for North Carolina for the Concerned Veterans for America, a group that I find to be as apolitical as any group can really be, and they really, really stand up for vets. So I'm proud to work with them. Welcome aboard, John.
Great to be on, Denny. Great to be on. Great to be talking to you and to your listeners.
John, start by telling us about your time in the military. What'd you do?
Sure. Well, I like to tell people I'm twice as stupid as most veterans because I'm a veteran of both the Marine Corps and the U.S. Army. So, you know, I missed two chances to go the easy route.
Okay. What'd you do first?
As a Marine, I was a combat engineer. I joined the Marine Corps way back in 1991 as the Gulf War, the first Persian Gulf War, was kicking off. I had a bunch of friends of mine that I went to high school with who were warrior types lining up on the scrimmage line with Saddam Hussein's Republican Guard, and I just didn't think I should sit on the bench. So I joined the Marine Corps. And, of course, by the time I made it through basic training, the war was over. But I served 4 years in the Marine Corps. I saw a good bit of Africa around the Horn there for a couple of months and got out. And about 5 years after getting out, I rejoined the military to be part of the Army National Guard.
That makes sense. Have you deployed as a guardsman?
Sure. I saw more action as an 11 Bravo infantryman in the U.S. Army National Guard than I ever did as a Marine. I joined the Army National Guard for the college money, like most people, in September of the year 2000. So I had just completed my 11th training cycle when on September 11, 2001, we were called up to serve at Ground Zero. I was in the New York Army National Guard. So we were right there, that first night, September 11th. We were downtown securing the site of Ground Zero, from pedestrian traffic. We spent about 2 weeks doing that. I deployed to Iraq in 2003. As an infantry, combat infantryman, company commander's RTO, driver, security, bodyguard, doing counterinsurgency, full spectrum operations, and came home. And a few years later, in 2008, I found myself on an embedded training team training the Afghan National Police in northern Afghanistan.
Okay, so you've been there and done that. How were you attracted to Concerned Veterans for America?
So, you know, I got involved with veteran issues in general when I came back from Iraq the first time. because I was in my final semester of college when I was mobilized to deploy. So I had to take a bunch of incompletes, and the process of getting them to give me the incompletes, and then the process of getting them to give me the grades kind of told me that, you know, that we were back at war, but America wasn't really ready structurally, functionally for what was going on. So I got involved with veterans issues back in New York City back in 2005, working with the City University of New York and some of the local veterans organizations, to try and do things for student veterans in New York. And from there, I got to work with Veterans for Freedom back in 2007, 2008, 2009, around my Afghanistan deployment before and after, working with the director of Vets for Freedom back then, Pete Hegseth, who eventually became the executive director of Concerned Veterans for America for a while. And he called me in 2012 and said, "Hey, are you doing anything important this year? I've got an offer for you." So I ended up working with Concerned Veterans for America starting in the summer of 2012. It's been a great ride ever since.
I consider Pete to be one of the finest human beings I've ever met. He's a great guy. I totally would respond as you did if he called me and asked me to do about anything.
Absolutely. And it was, you know, it was a great time. I was underemployed. I had been working part-time for no pay on a veterans nonprofit here in North Carolina. I was, you know, working full-time, just trying to keep my family afloat with whatever kind of post-recession jobs I could float. So it was a perfect storm. I had the time, the bandwidth, and the desire to get out of what I was doing. And join an organization that was all about standing up for veterans and standing up for freedom as well.
Bada boom. This is Colonel Danny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom, and we're discussing the VA, or about to discuss the VA, with John Burns from Concerned Veterans for America. Okay, so it's topic time, the VA. The current secretary is the first non-veteran secretary of the Veterans Affairs, but he seems to have the tools that he needs now, at least, to start cleaning house at the VA. I like what I see so far. What's your perspective on the improvements that have been made in the VA so far?
So, you know, this has been a good year for veterans looking at the VA from the outside. I'll tell you, on the you know, the fact that Dr. Shulkin, who's been very, I think, very effective in his new role, not being a veteran, one of the most frustrating things that happens to me every time I go to the VA is not being able to get taken care of with something that they're supposed to provide for me, and having the employee behind the counter on the other end of the phone say, "But hey, I understand how you feel because I'm a veteran." You know, it doesn't matter if every member of that organization is a veteran, is a combat veteran. If they can't do the job that they're supposed to be doing, it's not helping. And that's not to say that the veterans who work there aren't, many of them, doing a great job. But you know what? General Shinseki was a you know, a four-star general, and he couldn't get the organization to unscrew itself. Dr. Shulkin is not a four-star general, but things are going in the right direction these days. How much of that has to do with the political environment behind them, you know, is open for debate. But for the first time in a long time, we're seeing accountability at the VA. We're seeing the VA support bills that reform it and provide for accountability rather than resisting them. So while there's a long road to go, things are at least moving in the right direction at the Veterans Administration now.
Well, that's my assessment, too. The other half of that, if you look at, I mean, I don't even know how long the VA was really corrupt at its highest levels, but certainly for generations, you don't uncorrupt a corrupt organization in a week, a month, a year, or even a decade. And at least you don't do it without shutting the whole thing down and starting over again.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, I compare the effort we're undergoing now to something you're probably familiar with, knowing your resume, and that's fixing the Army from about 1980 onwards, right? You know, Army didn't know where to go after the draft ended for the first 6 or 7 years, and it took some really strong leadership at the top of the nation to challenge the Army to be what it could be. And starting at about 1981, January, the Army started getting its act together, and it became, once again, you know, the greatest Army in history. But there were some bad years in there. I think the VA, until earlier this year, was in that 1978, 1979 kind of place for the VA where it just had lost its way.
Okay. You know, that said, there are tons of stories, and we've talked about them before, where an on-call nurse comes in for a surgery drunk and participates or attempts to, and doesn't get fired, doesn't even get reprimanded. It seems to me that the culture is that if you and I both work for the VA and we both have roughly the same job, and you really put out, everybody appreciates you, but you don't get promoted, and I don't put out, I barely scrape by, and I don't get disciplined, and we both just keep our jobs. And that won't change until the highest level people are of that same character, same culture, and insist that it work, you know, because the people that I deal with in my personal life in the VA are darn good people.
Sure.
But that's in my community, and I don't get a lot of care there. I don't need it. But what I get is pretty darn good and reasonably timely. But that's not true in too many places.
No, it's not.
And how do you fix it?
I'll give you an example. I love my doctor. I love my VA doctor. He is one of the best doctors I've ever had. But he can't hold his own nursing staff accountable. They don't report to him. You know, like, he doesn't write their reviews. So while they work with him and he's the team leader and they're on his team, he can't hold them accountable. You can't have a system that doesn't have accountability built in. You know, the VA is, you know, the biggest problem there is you know, the Allied Federation of Government Employees is the biggest union there. It's the biggest, you know, government union that we have. And, you know, unions do things like they go and they support candidates for office. They knock on doors. And when you have, that's the corruption, right? When you have that kind of thing going on, when unions who are basically funded by your tax dollars and my tax dollars, you know, we pay taxes, it goes into the employee's payroll, and then they take that payroll and they're forced to give it to the union, it's unfortunate.
Well, yeah, that's very true. You know, theoretically, the VA and other people who work for the government are public servants. And when your servant tells you what you may or may not do, how much you must pay them, how much time they get off, they're not really servants, are they?
They're not. And again, when, you know, when they are taking my tax dollars and filtering through a payroll and then, you know, a forced union due to, in order to support political candidates to protect their jobs and to make them, you know, whistleblower free in their environment, there's something wrong with that. So structurally, for a long time, there have been a lot of problems with the VA. And again, you know, we throw the word VA around. We really mostly mean the Veterans Hospital Administration. It's almost all at the VHA, right? Not a whole lot of problems with veteran cemeteries. Most people I know who use either the Montgomery or the new GI Bill love it. I've heard a few problems with the home loan program, but for the most part, you know, most people like those. And, you know, I can give you one word why those are better than the VHA. But the problem really is in the VHA, the Veterans Hospital Administration.
Well put. Well put. This is Colonel Danny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. Troops, it's push-up time. I want you to do 103 push-ups. That's how many I do every day. Then do 20 more sit-ups and stay in the area. John and I will be right back to continue talking about the VA.
This report is brought to you by Bank of America, working with happiness expert Sean Acor. Holiday travel is about spending time with loved ones, whether it's a vacation or a trip back home. However, often we get too caught up in the stress of the season. Here's how to reduce travel stress and put your happiness in perspective. Sean Acor, happiness expert.
Planning a holiday trip can certainly feel stressful, but it's important to remember the end goal, joy. Rather than focusing on a long security line or traffic, stop and reflect upon how lucky you are to travel and how challenges make our travel stories even better. I found that one of the best ways to reduce stress on the trip is planning, by taking early steps like researching hotels and booking intelligently. I like to use my Bank AmeriCard Travel Rewards credit card, which lets me earn an unlimited 1.5 points on every dollar I spend and doesn't limit my travel plans with blackout dates. That way, every vacation leads to more opportunities to travel, and that makes me happy.
For more information, visit bankofamerica.com/travel rewards.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in a critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908 284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
This is Colonel Denny Gillum. This is the final formation for this hour on Frontlines of Freedom. We're continuing our conversation with John Burns from Concerned Veterans for America about cleaning up the VA. John, let's talk about at least some of the areas where there's still a lot of work to do to make the VA as functional as it. It's never going to be perfect because big bureaucracies are never perfect. Little bureaucracies are never. People aren't ever perfect. But there's a lot of room for improvement. And how do you go about fixing it? What are some of the areas that need fixing and how do you go about that?
Well, you know, we Concerned Veterans for America has been working on this problem for the 5 years we've been in existence. And, you know, we've gone for incremental reforms, right? So we started back in 2014 and we helped enact the rule, the law, the Veterans Administration Accountability, Portability, and Transparency Act of 2014. And the accountability piece was what we really worked on. And it gave the then VA secretary the ability to more easily remove members of the senior executive service who were until then relatively unaccountable. And that's the piece you were talking about, fixing it at the top, making sure that the leaders were accountable. You know, unfortunately, as we know, first couple of years of its implementation, the secretary, you know, first Secretary Shinseki, and then the secretary who followed him, they didn't execute that, right? Not a whole lot of people were removed, including like, you know, Sharon Hellman out in Phoenix, Arizona. She wasn't removed. Neither Shinseki nor McDonald chose to remove her. You know, the two women in Philadelphia and Delaware who kind of switched roles a couple of times to get themselves moving bonuses on paper, you know, the people weren't held accountable. So the tool was put there, but we didn't have the personnel in place to hold them accountable. This year, Secretary Shultz started using that law. He started using the new law that the president signed, which pushed that kind of accountability down to the rank and file of the VA. The president signed that back in June, the Veterans Administration Accountability Act of 2017. But again, right, those are partial solutions. What we really need is reform. You know, and like I said a few minutes ago, you know, veterans tend to be very, very happy with their GI Bill benefits. They tend to be very, very happy with their home loan benefits. And one of the reasons is there's choice built into it. There's no bank of veteran that you have to get your mortgage from. There's no veteran university that you have to get your degree from. You get to take those benefits out into the market and use them wherever it works for you. You know, if you live someplace where there's a great university, you know, you can use it. You can use your VA benefits at that university. You know, if you want to move your residence, you can use the VA loan to move, to sell your house and renew that loan. So choice is a really important component.
Okay. I agree that choice option is there. And my concern is not that we don't have some idea. And by the way, folks, if you don't know it, Concerned Veterans for America created a rather high-powered bi-party commission to look at how to fix the VA. Two senior leaders was a Republican and a Democrat, I think member of Congress. I mean,
our Fixing Veterans Healthcare Task Force. And it was chaired by Darren Selnick, who currently is a White House advisor on VA reform. Senator Bill Frist, who had been the Senate Majority Leader and had been a doctor at the VA earlier in his career, was on it. Mike Kaufman, who headed the VHA for a time, and Representative Jim Marshall from Georgia, a Democrat who was in the Ranger Hall of Fame, a great Army Ranger, were all on this commission. And they put together a set of recommendations that CVA has strongly supported. And in fact, we're at a point now where Congressman Lamborn has just filed a bill about 2 weeks ago, 2.5 weeks ago, late November, called the Veterans Empowerment Act 2017, and it implements almost all of the strategies, if it was read into law, if it became law, it would implement all of the strategies that we've been advocating for to make the VA a go-to source that veterans really want to get their health care from.
You know, folks, that's something that's vital. That's really where I wanted to get to this, the fact that there is a plan. Because if we talk about, well, this needs fixing and that needs fixing, and there's 8,000 things of which 4,000 need fixing, we're talking minutia. We need a plan, and there is a plan, and it's a bipartisan plan, and it's one that apparently can work, and now it's been introduced. Talk again about that law and how people, I hope the listeners will contact their Congress critters, House representatives and senators, and ask them to support it, because we really need to get this thing fixed. Talk to us again about that.
Yeah, it's, again, the Veterans Empowerment Act of 2017, filed by Representative Lamborn, got two co-sponsors right now. We're diligently working the halls, and, you know, obviously it's between Thanksgiving and Christmas, so, you know, it's rough right now to get folks to talk about co-sponsoring new bills. But we're working the halls of Congress to try and get folks to join us as co-sponsors. We're confident we're going to get a lot. And this Veterans Empowerment Act would do a couple of things that we think are key to fixing the VA. One is it would take the Veterans Hospital Administration and turn it from a government administration, a government agency, into a federally chartered nonprofit with a board that could hold it accountable. And this would remove all of the employees. It wouldn't fire them, but it would remove them from federal employee and making them no longer eligible to be members of a government employee union. So we think that that would help a lot. It would also give veterans the choice to choose their healthcare provider there in the system, which would be restructured, or to take veterans' health insurance and go out in the open market and get their healthcare from a provider of their choice. And, you know, I don't want to get in the weeds. Obviously, the bill has just been written. I haven't read all of it. And there's obviously going to be amendments and adoptions, and it's going to be negotiated. But we're talking about a program that would work somewhat similar to very popular programs like CHAMP VA or Medicare, where family members or members of, you know, who are on government-sponsored insurance can go to the healthcare provider of their choice. So these two key provisions, turning the Veterans Health Administration into a nonprofit and giving veterans the choice to be in that or to get their healthcare where they want, we think would go like a long, long, long way to fixing the solution. And obviously we're looking for folks to help support us in this.
That makes sense. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. We're discussing fixing the VA with John Burns from Concerned Veterans for America. John, periodically I hear people who are basically with large veterans organizations saying they don't want to destroy the system and privatize it. They want to keep it like it is, but just fix it. Is this program you're talking about what they're talking about? Are they saying that when making it, taking it from being a government agency to having its own board, is that what they're talking about, killing it? Are there people opposed to that?
Frankly, sir, I don't know sometimes what they're talking about, because they say they don't want to change it, but they want to fix it. You can't fix something without changing it, right? This is not like just replacing a strut on your car. You know, the system itself is dysfunctional. It's not working correctly.
Okay. Well, that makes sense. We've got just a couple of minutes left, John. Talk about Concerned Veterans of America. Who are you? What do you do? What kinds of things do you do besides interact with the VA? And how can people get involved?
So, you know, we are a federally based nonprofit, right? We're a nonprofit organization of veterans and military family members. We're founded back in late 2011, stood up in 2012. And, you know, our watchword, our mission statement is we're here to fight for the freedom at home that, you know, our veterans and military family members suffer for overseas, right? So we stand up for the VA. We stand up for freedom. You know, we're standing up. We think veterans have a close connection to the Constitution. So we're very concerned, you know, with laws that might conflict with the Constitution. We stand up for these issues. We really, really, really right now focus on this VA bill. We have a website. It's www.cv4a.org. Www, the letter C, the letter V, the number 4, the letter A, .org, cv4a.org. There's a take action button on there. Folks can hit that take action button. They can sign up, and, you know, when you do that, it'll allow you to send a message directly to your congressman or senator saying, support this bill. It'll allow you to send messages saying, hey, support choice generally, to sign some of the petitions that are supporting this and some of our other legislative agendas. But, you know, we're looking for folks to go to our website, to sign up and join us in this fight, because we're standing up for veterans and we're standing up for freedom.
And to that, folks, I say amen. I've been around these guys for quite some time, and they are that. Perfect? No. But focused on the right path, yes. John, thank you for taking time to join us today, and thank you for your service to our nation in uniform, but thank you for what you're doing now. You're fighting for us, man.
Well, thank you, sir. It's always good to be on, and it's always good to talk to folks about these issues.
Well, here's our Stand Tall Troop report. This is when we find an outstanding performance of duty and we're privileged to honor this fine troop. America's first black astronaut, Air Force Major Robert Lawrence Jr., finally got full honors earlier this month on the 50th anniversary of his death. Several hundred people gathered at the Kennedy Space Center to commemorate Lawrence, who almost certainly would have gone on to fly in space had he not died in a plane crash on December 8, 1967. The crowd included NASA dignitaries, astronauts, fellow Omega Psi Phi fraternity members, school children and relatives of Lawrence, and other astronauts who have died in the line of duty. Lawrence was part of a classified military space program in the 1960s called the Manned Orbiting Laboratory, meant to spy on the Soviet Union. He died when his F-104 Starfighter crashed at Edwards Air Force Base in California. He was 32. Astronauts at the two-hour ceremony said Lawrence would have gone on to fly NASA space shuttles and that, after his death, he inspired all the African-American astronauts who followed him. Like Lawrence, Robert Crippen was a part of the Air Force's program. It was canceled in 1969 without a single manned space flight, prompting Crippen and the other astronauts to move on to NASA. Crippen was a pilot of the first space shuttle flight in 1981. With a doctoral degree in physical chemistry, a rarity among test pilots, Lawrence was definitely on the fast track, Crippen said. He graduated from high school at the age of 16 and college at the age of 20. He had a great future ahead of him had he not been lost 50 years ago today, Crippen said. So stand tall in heaven, astronaut Robert Lawrence Jr., Frontlines of Freedom, and all of our nation's patriots salute you. This concludes the first hour of the show. We'll start the second hour learning about the Travis Mannion Foundation from Janie and Nash. Then Tony Pascelli will discuss his interesting new book, The Marine Corps Way of War, and we'll review last weekend's wonderful, wonderful Army-Navy game. Of course, we'll conclude with our weekly mailbag, military history, and our Armed America Report. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. Troops go somewhere and run wind sprints, through the snow if necessary, then grab some protein and rehydrate with water. Finally, put a big smile on your proud-to-be-an-American face and send me your thoughts by email or on Facebook.
Mike Hewitt here. The gotcha accusation culture of destroy the opposition we're watching unfold is a poor replacement for the issues we should be talking about. Consider it. Our national debt now exceeds $20 trillion. Keep in mind that near incalculable number doesn't include state debt or local debt. You know, things like largely unfunded pensions. Think about it. Seriously, in an overnight hospital stay, we're paying $10 for a single Band-Aid, and our youth are being encouraged to plow themselves into debt for higher education that's become not much more than leftist ideological promotion. They're trying to keep our attention focused on what somebody else said decades ago. But if, folks, it's time for us to get real. We cannot allow a few, driven by their aspirations of politics in 2018, to poison our culture. Let them babble about whatever nonsense they wish. Common sense and tomorrow's generation demands more of us. For more common sense, visit themikehewittshow.com.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, 100inchamberradio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News.
Workers are going to get a more level playing field. That's going to boost wages. That's going to bring more jobs back home.
House Speaker Paul Ryan today in a Capitol Hill briefing. The House is expected to vote on the tax bill later today, followed by the Senate tonight, and then a passage of the bill. The bill could be on the president's desk as early as tomorrow. House Speaker Ryan also says this bill is about helping Americans.
This is about expanding opportunity to people who are striving to make the most of their lives.
Meanwhile, on the other side of the political aisle, Martin O'Malley, former governor of Maryland, he's no fan of this bill.
You know, the fact that they're doubling the deductions for kids, that's all nice, but that's all going to be wiped out by increased costs of health care, increased costs of college tuition. It's like this tax bill is like asking a family in at Christmas time to buy a car for the wealthiest guy in the neighborhood in exchange for a $50 rebate.
This is USA Radio News.
Are you wearing contacts or glasses right now? Imagine this, opening your eyes tomorrow to 20/20 vision. No daily contacts or glasses needed. It can happen, and it is affordable. TLC Laser Eye Centers wants to help as many people as possible achieve 20/20 vision, so they're offering a fantastic price on their premium LASIK experience. TLC uses the latest FDA-approved all-laser LASIK technology, and for less than what you might think. Find out if LASIK is right for you. Call TLC now for a free consultation. 800-978-1515. Be one of the first 50 listeners to call today and get $400 off your all-laser LASIK procedure. That's a savings of $200 per eye. TLC Laser Eye Centers has over 20 years' experience and performed over 2 million procedures. Let our team help you. For your free consultation, call now. 800-978-1515.